Why is it important to ask questions? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We're fortunate to have Dr. Kenneth Yates with us one more time in the studio, and we're going to explore with him the importance of asking questions. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and Dr. Kenneth Yates. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're here with Ken, and we were just talking about his experience, Ken's experience of teaching in Zambia. And one of the things that he really appreciated about this Bible college he was teaching at was that the students weren't afraid to ask questions. And that was actually, that's a good thing.
Oh, yes. This was probably of all the places I've ever taught, and I don't know if it's just a cultural thing or whatever it is, these guys asked questions from the minute you walked in the door to the minute the class was over with. And I'm talking about a 5 or 6 hour class. It was just constant. And in fact, they even asked to meet at lunch and at dinner to ask more questions. And so it was just different for me because, I mean, I've taught in other places where people ask questions, but nothing like this. And then I've also taught in places where to get the people to ask questions is like pulling teeth. One particular Bible college I was speaking at in America, we were going through the Gospel of John, and it was really difficult to get Americans to ask questions. You know, you'd have to even just like lead them on, go, well, what about this? You'd have to ask them questions to get them to ask a question, but it was the exact opposite in Zambia.
And I found that too, and we were talking about the fact that sometimes when we speak, we find people who are very open to asking questions. But sometimes if you throw it open for questions, there's a lot of silence.
I think part of it is just in a traditional Sunday morning worship setting, the pastor, the preacher gets up there, he preaches, and you do not interrupt. You stay silent, and you never get a chance to ask any questions. And if you don't belong to a Bible study or a Sunday school class, maybe you go your whole church life without being able to ask anybody any questions.
But even in Bible studies and Sunday school classes, oftentimes, people don't ask questions. In fact, Sean, you talked about how you're in a Bible study right now, right?
Right.
And how the people said they were going through a particular Christian book, and they'd say a whole bunch of things, and people thought they couldn't ask any questions or question what was written.
It was a new class for me, and we were going through an author's book, and there's very minimal discussion, maybe just a couple people asking, talking. And I didn't want to jump in there because I'm new and I'm a theology nerd. I mean, I can talk about all this stuff all day long, and I didn't want to dominate, you know, so I just kind of stayed quiet. And at the end of that meeting, like the third meeting we had, and I said, well, I don't know about you guys, but I have to say that I'm pretty sure I disagree with half of what he says here. And they were shocked. They're like, really? And I was like, yeah. I was like, well, what about this? And what about that? What about this other thing? They were surprised. And so they asked me to teach the class the next week. And the next week, we just went through what this guy said line by line. And I just expressed all the questions I had about it. And that just exploded into their own questions. And they didn't even know that there were different options. And at the end of that class, the host came up to me and he said, I didn't even know we were allowed questioning. I didn't know. I mean, I go to church every week and I'm not allowed asking questions. I didn't even know we were supposed to question what this guy said. And so then they asked me to teach it again the next week. Asking questions. If you're in an environment where you're not allowed asking questions, that is unhealthy, I think, for your spiritual life.
Well, you know, we just went through the book of Hebrews, and Hebrews 11:6 says, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We know Acts 17:11. Where it says those in Berea were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. These things were the preaching of the Apostle Paul.
So not, even Paul, I'm sure, invited this.
Right.
Yes. Check to see that what I said was true.
And don't you know it excited Paul?
Right.
Right. Yes.
But I was also struck, Ken, how you said that when you were teaching at this Bible college, one of the students complained to the dean, you had asked some questions, because people were saying what? They were talking about inviting Jesus into their heart, praying to receive Christ, and confessing their sins. And you pointed out to them that you know, I think you asked him, right? Where do you find this in the scripture?
Yes, I asked him, and one student in particular said, for example, that you could lose your salvation. So I asked, I said, well, where are you getting these phrases? And of course, those phrases, inviting Jesus into your heart and saying the sinner's prayer, you know, I just said, where are they? He said, well, they're not in the Bible. I said, well, then you're making them up. And you're just making them up. And I said, as long as you understand that this is just your tradition and it's not biblical, that's a good place to start.
Right.
In this particular case, she was offended by the fact that I would challenge those views. But I think that...
Well, she even went to the academic dean, right?
Yes.
And he called you in?
Yeah, said that her feelings were hurt.
And what did he say? What did the dean say?
He said that it's best not to challenge their beliefs, let them come to the conclusion themselves, you know, to give them options. And I'm sure he looked at me as some guy who's out of the Army and I'm hardcore like a drill sergeant or something. But I really didn't think I was, but maybe I was. Maybe, you know, maybe I did come across too hard. But the point is still a valid one, that we need to be challenged. We need to be like the Bereans. And so that's what I really enjoyed about the guys in Zambia. They were very willing to say, well, I believe this. What about this, 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 this? And they were asking the questions.
And that's how you find truth.
Yes.
You do not discover the truth by never asking any questions, never questioning anything, and just accepting everything that you hear.
Well, in fact, and I know this is a little controversial, but a lot of people find a church this way, don't they? They say, okay, my tradition is A, B, C, D. So I need to find a church that teaches A, B, C, D faithfully, mm-hmm. right? And if my tradition says you can lose everlasting life, then I need to find a church that teaches that. If it says you've got to believe and obey and confess and repent and be baptized, I need to find a church that teaches all that. Whatever it is, I need to find something within that tradition. And the problem with that is you're really not seeking the truth. What you're doing is seeking something that undergirds your tradition.
Yes, confirm what I already believe.
Right. And yes. It seems to me what we should do is say, I want to find a church that teaches the Bible line by line, verse by verse, teaches it accurately. And if I find such a place, well, it may change my thinking.
I mean, what are the chances that you were born into the right tradition?
Right.
Yes.
I mean, there are a billion Muslims in the world today that they might think, I was born in... Lucky me, this is the truth. Or there might be Mormons or Catholics or whoever. What are the chances that you're born into the truth? Pretty slim. You
yes.
need to look for it.
And I think if we're open, God's going to bring us someone to challenge us, right? Like you were challenging them. I had a friend when I was a senior in college. He had been in the same cult group I was in. And he said, Bob, is it possible your view of the gospel is wrong? Well, I'd been praying the Lord would show me the truth for years and years, but I was just locked into the legalistic work salvation thinking of the cult I was in. And when he asked me that, I went with him to a Campus Crusade for Christ meeting. I heard the message of life, the free gift of eternal life. I didn't believe it. Sounded heretical to me. But I then contacted Campus Crusade at my campus and started meeting with the guy for about 5 weeks. And I kept asking him, like, your Zambian questions. I asked him about James 2 and Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10. And I just took him all over the Bible. And he kept coming back to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And after about 5 meetings with him, I came to faith. But Sean's right. I wasn't in the right tradition, whether it was the Serbian Orthodox tradition or whether it was in this cult group I was in, or later we were in a very liberal Protestant church. None of those were the right tradition, and by being open, I think had something to do with it. But in any case, God reached out to me through a friend and said, is it possible your view of the gospel is wrong? Just like you were saying to these kids, is it possible you're wrong with using things? Hopefully, some of them got it.
Yes, and if you think about it, even if we're in the right tradition, like certainly free grace theology is the right way to look at the New Testament, but there are things that I need to learn from the Scripture, and if I'm not open... I already know everything there is to know. You know, there's nothing the Bible can teach me. What a horrible way to look at it. How many times have we learned what we thought about a particular verse was incorrect?
Well, we were just in the book of James where he talks about the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this passage where he's looking in a mirror. And I always thought the mirror revealed to you your sins. I just assumed the mirror is there and it reveals how dirty you are and how sinful you are. And that somehow helps you in your Christian walk. But then Bob made the argument that actually, no, what the mirror does, it shows you your new identity in Christ.
Yeah, the face of your birth.
Yeah, the face of your birth. And I never, it just never, I just assumed that it was just it shows you your sin. But I learned something. I'm still learning. Every day I'm learning.
When we went through Hebrews with Ken, there were quite a few aha moments where I'm like, oh, really? That's what this passage is talking about? I got a lot of good insights out of several things that you were saying, even though I know the book fairly well.
Yeah.
But the truth is, I had more to learn. And that's the beauty of the Bible. We never arrive.
Exactly. All of us. We're constantly learning. Whenever I teach overseas, the first thing I say to the class is, you've got to be willing to change your view of something if the Bible tells you that your view is incorrect.
Boy, that is so good.
If it's your tradition or if your mama told you something, and this may hurt some feelings, your daddy told you things that was wrong. You know, your preacher told you some things that are wrong. And that's true for all of us.
Right.
Well, you know,
it never stops.
One of the things that we say is we call ourselves biblicists.
Right.
That doesn't mean we have all the answers. That means we know where to go for the answers.
Amen. We know all the answers are in the Bible.
Right.
And if someone can show us that we're not seeing it right, well, then we'll change our view.
Right. So we're always, every single teaching should be evaluated by the Word of God. And every single belief should be challenged in light of God's Word.
And it really drives me nuts that in theological education today, a lot of it is like you described, Ken, where the academic dean tells you, well, we don't really push the students. We just give them options because we don't want to offend them.
And certainly that's an influence, and Sean knows more about this than I do, certainly is postmodernism.
Right.
Yes, you see that.
Well, we believe in asking questions here, and in fact, we have an email dedicated to you being able to ask us questions. It's questions@faithalone.org. If you have questions about the Bible, send them. Write us an email, questions@faithalone.org, or send us a handwritten note at P.O. Box 1302, Denton, Texas, 76202. That's Grace and Focus, P.O. Box 1302, Denton, Texas, 76202.
A big thanks to Dr. Kenneth Yates for being in the studio with us today and for the previous series. Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture in the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the program, we're going to begin a series of question and answer where Bob and Sean answer questions from you guys. Questions that have come in through email and through written mail. You're not going to want to miss it, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.